So, hello, my name is Mark Marin, and I'm normally at IDEMDEA Software Research in Madrid, Spain, but this summer I'm visiting the RISE group here in Redmond, Washington, and we're working on some tools and techniques for understanding the runtime behavior of the program heap and memory allocation on it. So this information is, of course, very useful if you're trying to debug your program, if you're trying to find some performance bottlenecks that are related to allocation and memory usage. And one very natural way for understanding the program heap at any given point in time in execution is to look at just a dump of the object graph of the heap. And so to sort of motivate where our research is going, I want to start with a simple example of an object graph view of the program heap. So let's suppose we're looking at an object-oriented program that's written, and it's going to do an arithmetic expression evaluator. So we can be running along at some point in the program, and we want to see what's going on in the program heap. And so let's assume that we have a local variable E, and is my marker dead? Let me switch colors. We have a local variable E, which points to the expression that's going to be evaluated. We also have a set of variable bindings for all the variables that appear in our expression V. And now to get the object graph of the heap, we're just going to walk the program heap one object at a time, and for each object we encounter, we'll put a node in the graph, and for each pointer we encounter, we'll put an edge in the graph. So the first thing we do is we look at what E points to, and we'll find out that it points to some sort of add expression. And maybe off on the left subchild of that add expression, I'll give it a little L there, we have some sort of subtraction expression. And if we look at the right subchild of that add expression, maybe it has another subtract expression right there. And then let's suppose we'll look at the left subchild first. We're sort of doing an in-order traversal. So we'll look at the left subchild, and maybe it points to a little constant object. The right subchild goes and points off to some other variable object. We go to the other subtraction expression, we can look at it, and let's suppose the left subchild is another constant, and just for fun and symmetry, the right subchild is a variable. Get that there. Okay, that's nice and legible. Now that we're done walking these guys, we can go over to our next local variable, the variable intern table, and take a look at it, and we'll see, okay, it is an array of some sort. And in the first location, it's going to point to one of the variables. Oops, make sure that's there. Okay. And in the first position, it'll point to the other variable. So there we go, there's our object graph visualization of the concrete heap. And this is very nice because now we have a very global picture of what's going on in the program. We can see we have a nice expression tree, which is what we hoped. We see that it shares some objects with the variable intern table, which is not too surprising from the description. And we can sort of see how many objects of each type are on the heap, and that's great for us. Now, this works very well in our example here, where we have a total of, from counting right, 8 objects, right? But if we want to scale this up to a program that has, you know, a more realistic heap size of thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of objects, we'd need a much larger whiteboard, and everything would look like little pinpricks, and we could never figure out where the objects that we were interested in were, or even try and pick out what the data structures were, and it's very easy to get totally lost in that. So what we want to do is we want to somehow, rather than looking at each object individually, and so we just see a big sea of objects, we want to somehow aggregate these together into higher level constructs and then look at the relationships between those. And then when we find the region of the heap we're interested in, to drill down into that one more specifically. So what we're going to do in order to accomplish this is we're going to attempt to group the objects in our concrete object graph here into logically related data structures and logically related sets of objects based on some equivalence class relations. And there are lots of ways to define this, and there are a number of clever things you have to do to get the best results. But the general principle is pretty simple. So we're going to look at the set of these objects, and we're going to try and identify sets of objects that belong to the same recursive data structures, and sets of objects that are stored in the same collections or arrays or data structures. And so if we look at our particular example here, let me do this. So we'll come over here on the right, and we'll show our abstracted object graph here. We have E. We have V, the same root variables, the same roots. And now we're going to look at our concrete object graph, and we're going to sort of look for, first thing is recursive data structures. So we see the expression objects all inherit from an expression-based class. So we can sort of group this whole set of objects into a single node in our abstract shape graph. So that's going to become this node. I'll attempt to be a little clever here and do a little curlicue. And then it has some internal pointers on L and R. Is that the module? Yeah, okay. Then we can sort of look at the object V points to. It points to one object, so that's just going to come straight across, no change. And then we see, okay, well, in V, it's an array that points to a number of variable objects. And so all these variable objects are stored in the same array. We're going to group them all together in their own little variable object over here. And we're going to draw the edge from our variable intern table. Then we can look and we see, okay, all the constant objects are stored in the same tree, so we're going to group them together into their own little constant object node over here. And then we can add the edges as needed. So the constants are stored in the left children, the variables are stored in the right children, and we have the original tree structure. And so you can see that this is really compressed the, you know, all the number of objects used down into a much smaller representation while still maintaining sort of the key structural information about there's a tree with pointers to constants and variables. And we can even sort of enhance this by doing classic graph traversal and other post-processing, so we can then say, well, this particular node happens to represent something that is structurally a tree. We can count how many objects are in here, 3. We can count how many constants there are, 2. We can count how many variables there are, 2. Can I cheat and do that? Yeah, close enough. Okay, so that's the general idea, and you can see how this might be useful, particularly if this was 10,000 objects and this was only 18 nodes. And so what we'd like to do next is actually look at an example of a program that has a couple of memory problems, actually has a heap that uses 10,000 objects, and use it to this technique to reduce it down to a much more manageable set where it's easy to figure out where these memory problems are coming from. Okay. All right, so the example we're going to look at here is a simple ray trace program that we've been working with, and it uses memory somewhat inefficiently, and we'd like to find out if we can change a few things to have it make better use of memory and perhaps find places where memory is just going to waste and not being collected where it could be. So we've gone ahead and instrumented this program to produce some heap dumps, and I'll go ahead and show you the dump we're going to look at here, this one called postrender.dmp. We just walked the heap graph, dumped out every object, dumped out representations of all the pointers, and it takes up about 24 megabytes. So I'm going to kick off the analysis tool to go ahead and run the analysis and produce the results like I discussed on the whiteboard while we look at the code of the program here. So it's a pretty standard ray tracer. We have a two-dimensional canvas, and we're just going to start off a bunch of rays. We're going to have them bounce around in the scene in this shade operation, and then we're going to write the pixel value to the canvas. So nothing too exciting there. The interesting thing here is this line where we have this runtime shadow support dump heap state, and this is where we actually produce the heap dump that we use. Now, this particular technique that we're using is not really that important. You could use you could dump these heap states from within the debugger. You could use the existing heap mini dump file. We just happen to want to do our own dump routine for a number of other things we're working on. Now, as you can see, there are 166,000 some odd objects in the concrete heap, which would be completely impossible to try and visualize if we showed every object as a unique node. But we've reduced this down to between 50 and 42 objects, depending on the level of abstraction we chose to use. And it took about 2 seconds to compute the abstraction, so this is quite efficient. Now, the first view I want to look at here, let me zoom in just a bit so we can read everything a little better, is focused on looking at how much memory is consumed in all of the data structures and highlighting parts of the program that use a much larger percentage of memory than other parts. And so we can see we have a this object. It points to the scene that we were trying to render. And it says, okay, there's some set of awk nodes, and then there's this very large region made up of face arrays, face objects, and points. There are 110,000 objects in here, and it uses 1.74 megabytes of memory space, which is about 15 to 20% of the memory that this program ends up using. So obviously, we'd like to investigate this a little more. We can expand this out and see that this part of the heap actually has a bunch of face arrays, have pointer to face objects, have pointers to point arrays, and have pointers to point objects. So this might not be the best way to use memory. There might be a more efficient way to encode this information. So we can then switch over to a slightly more detailed view, which attempts to show the exact aliasing and sharing relationships between these components, so we can think about how we'd like to optimize the memory use here. And so this brings us to our other view, where we've actually not compressed things quite so much and added some extra information on what the structural properties of the heap are. So if I zoom in a little bit, we can go and see our this object pointing to the scene object as before, which points to our awk tree node. And now we've annotated this with additional information. So we've said not only are these awk node objects in here, but they actually are laid out like a DAG. So even though the name says awk tree, it actually has sibling pointers, so it's not a tree. So we've learned something interesting already. We see it has some internal pointers, and then here are these face objects pointing to, or the face arrays pointing to the face values, and so on. And the other nice thing here is we've actually encoded some sharing information in this figure as well. So we can distinguish between edges where each pointer points to a unique object, in the case of this face array, and edges where pointers point to perhaps aliasing objects in this V object pointer over here, the gray color, let me just click out here, versus the blue color. So this can be kind of nice if you want to figure out, oh, does each face array own all of the face objects stored in it, or are they alias somehow? And if they're not, then perhaps you could actually inline the face objects in the face array, which is what we can do here to significantly reduce the memory that's used. Now, as this is a somewhat time-consuming, slightly difficult, requires a large number of changes, maybe we'd like to go off and see if there's some other way we can reduce the memory that this program uses. And in fact, there is a very nice one. If I zoom out a little bit more, you can actually see it. This scene lines global variable here is used to read in the file that we actually want to render and creates a bunch of string objects, one per line, and then stores these using half a kilobyte of memory. Now these are used during the initialization, but as we see, they're still live and still reachable even through the whole time we render the scene and even at the end of the rendering process. So we just had half a megabyte sitting around there, and we can get rid of that just by inserting a null after we're done initializing the file. So much easier than fixing our point objects, although there's a little more benefit from the point objects. But so I think that was the demo. I think it shows nicely how you can cut down on the memory use, both by altering data structures to be more efficient and also finding some just garbage that's floating around that you can allocate earlier. And it also a nice little demonstration of how we can have multiple views to show either gross structural information on memory, precise information on sharing and shape, or if we wanted, we could even start zooming in further to see the individual objects that are in these data structures. So I think that's it for me today, and bye-bye.